Welcome to episode number 37 of Eagle's Eye Report for Wednesday, January 25th, 2023. I'm your host, Roger Landry, PLB. The show is co-hosted and produced by my friend Stephen Roberts, who I will be bringing in shortly. And as usual, this show is sponsored by TLBTalk.com. The name of today's show is Global Healthcare on Its Knees. Not a joke, not a guess. And gee, I wonder what that could be or what could be causing that, or at least a big part of that. But let's get through this intro. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truths and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these concepts. And yes, I say that every week, but it has to sink in. If we don't do shows like this, if there aren't people or organizations like, Steve and Annie and the Liberty Beacon Project, there would be so many things you wouldn't know, and we're even going to talk a little bit about that as well. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism, again, for communicating truth and facts. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio, our thanks to Annie, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlow Radio. And something I mention every week, if you are one who is inclined to do an occasional donation, do yourself and the whatever platform you're donating to and make that a monthly donation. Take what you normally donate over the course of a year, divide it by 12. If that's $8, $10, $12, whatever it is, the next time you go in, put that number in for your donation and click the button or check the box that says make this a monthly donation. Why? Again, it gives them a budget they can count on. It helps them to give you bigger, better, badder, faster. It gives them something they know will be reoccurring so they can plan ahead. How are you today, Stephen?
Pretty good. Not too bad at all.
Well, we got a lot of snow here last night, and it's not exactly a normal thing for Arkansas, but we did get quite a bit of snow, and it's actually beautiful out there. The only problem is that we lost power because idiots around here don't know how to drive when there's 5 or 6 inches of snow on the ground. And most of these backcountry roads, you may have 20, 30, 40 degree inclines and declines in the road. Yep. You may go over the course of a mile, 1,000 feet higher or lower. So if you're not ready for this, you're going to hit something.
Your neck of the woods, you mainly get a lot of ice storms, don't you?
We get an occasional ice storm, but usually mostly what we get during the winter, and I've been here for almost 7 winters now, it's usually rain we get. But occasionally, I see, and no, it's about 6 years. I have seen 3 good snowstorms since I've been here. Huh. I've seen a couple where you get a few flakes here and there, but nothing like this, no.
Right.
Okay, our mission is to keep you armed with vital truth as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital issues without fear of censorship or exclusion. That being the sponsor of this show, TLVTalk.com, a social media platform that allows you to say what needs to be said and allows you to find out what you need to know. Anything that I put out in these shows, and I say this every week, will be available in an article tomorrow on the LibertyBeacon.com. Eagle's Eye Report will be on the big slideshow at the top. You see the big old eagle's head, click on that slide, and it will take you to the article that will, be published with this show embedded in it, and any links to any information that I put out. The reason this project hardly ever gets any blowback unless you're a serious troll is because we always back up what we say, or we say, I'm not exactly sure, but this is what I believe, and that's qualifier. And if someone can step up and show us where we've made a mistake, please don't believe we're going to be upset. We're not. I'm actually going to have a big old smile on my face, and I'm going to say thank you. All right. Let's get started with this because this is a lot of information. Again, the title of the show today is Global Healthcare on Its Knees. And that's not a joke. But before we jump into the main topic, Stephen sent me something yesterday that literally had me falling out of my chair with laughter. Okay? And I'm going to just present a little bit of this and ask Stephen for his input on it because it literally blew me away. Everybody here knows that the one thing I have been doing more than anything else for the last 2 years is talking about the jab, the COVID jabs, what they call vaccines, but which don't qualify as vaccines. I have been discussing that, and a lot of the people within the Liberty Beacon Project and a lot of the people we associate with in their projects have been discussing this on a regular basis. We've been telling people how dangerous they are. We've been telling people they shouldn't take them. We've been telling people how dangerous COVID-19 actually is, and now the Moderna CEO steps up to back us up, stating that COVID-19 was no worse than a bad year of flu unless you had several severe comorbidities or you were well over 80 years old. We knew this. We told you this. But this is the title of an article that Stephen sent to me, and you're probably chuckling in the background there, Steve. It says, they knew. Why didn't the unvaccinated do more to warn us? And I'm going to give you just a paragraph and a half from this entire article, but the link to this article will be in the article I publish tomorrow on thelibertybeacon.com with the show embedded in it. So let's go. The unvaccinated knew what we didn't. Some of them said too little. Most said nothing at all. A lot of blood is now on their hands. Hold on. I'm going to repeat that last sentence. A lot of blood is now on their hands. As the world struggles to come to terms with the devastating effects of the COVID-19 pandemic, one question that continues to surface is why the unvaccinated didn't do more to warn us about the potential dangers of being injected. While well-intending citizens lined up, did the right thing, and received their COVID-19 vaccines, now seeming to do more harm than good. Their unvaccinated friends stood by and let them do it. Some of them said too little. Some said nothing at all, even though they knew what we didn't. Okay, first off, let me explain something to the idiot who wrote this, okay? We have been, and when I say we, it's not just me. It is a whole slew of people who stepped up to say, don't do it, and here's why. We have been, and I have been publishing via the Liberty Beacon Project for almost 15 years, every single day. Don't tell me we didn't tell you. Tell your government for not letting you see what we said. Where have I got that wrong, Steve? Because this is not only hilarious, but it pisses me off.
Well, I think it was meant to do what it's done to you and I initially to make us laugh and then piss us off. I wonder if by what the article writer meant by they knew, I wonder if that's supposed to mean the truth movement.
All I know is that anybody who is pretty much, I don't know, pure of heart, which there aren't too many today, but anybody who is basically pure of heart that reads that is going to come away with an axe to grind for unvaccinated people because we're the reason that so many vaccinated people are dying or ending up in the hospital or are ending up, you know, with massive cancer spikes. Or it's our fault. It's our fault because we didn't tell you, except that we are now what I would consider to be, and I, believe me, have been involved in this for many years, the most shadow banned, the most censored group of people on the planet. Why? Because these vaccines have done more damage to the global population than just about all other, listen to me, all other pharmaceutical products ever used on humanity combined. Researchers stating as many as 23 to 25 million dead, could be a lot more, they say, but that's what they're saying has to be a minimum, and 2.2 billion people severely damaged by the over 1,200 severe side effects of these jabs, which they tried to hide from us for 75 years. So when somebody tells me that it's my fault for not telling you that you shouldn't take the vaccine, please don't stand in front of me, because I'm going to do something I haven't done in a very, very long time. I have way too much respect for most people. I'm going to smack you upside your stupid head. Okay, if they were intending to get me pissed off, Stephen, they did.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
And I think justifiably. All right.
I've got a question for you before we go on.
Okay.
Do you think the criminals, the cabal that are in control, do you think they're actually frightened at what's going on?
I think that Davos this year turned out to be there are people that went to Davos this year that are sorry they went. The scrutiny on Davos this year and the WEF is far beyond what it's ever been before. I would say that you have elites right now that are looking at what's going on around the world, the massively increasing amount of people just dropping dead, and of course, all of them multiple vaccinated. Okay. I do think that there are people who are scared. As a matter of fact, part of what we're going to talk about today are a lot of healthcare workers who are probably a lot more aware than most people are of the dangers of this jab, but yet pushed it on people, yet prescribed it to people, yet made sure that they got it before they could do this, do that, do this, do that. Some of them are walking away from their jobs because they feel that repercussions are only a heartbeat away. Now, if that's what you were asking me, yes, I do believe they're starting to get very concerned, Steve.
Well, that wasn't total. I mean, yes and no, I guess.
Okay, so if you want to tweak it a little bit, and then we'll jump into the rest of the show.
Nah, it's okay. We can go on.
Okay, but I didn't answer your question.
Yes, hello? You did, basically, yes.
Okay. All right, look. The Great Resignation in a collapsing health system. Most of this comes from an article, and that is her title, by Carla Peters. And she writes for Brownstone, and she is a very good writer. And not all of this will be from her, but there are some great talking points that I need to present from her article. So let's go on. In an increasing number of countries all over the world, chaos and despair is rising. People are more frequently ill and dying at higher rates than at any point in the past 50 years. Listen to me. More people are dying than at any point in the past 50 years. At the same time, health systems are deteriorating, they're falling apart. We need to rethink the humanness or the humaneness of health systems versus the cold technological solutions. And we'll get into that a little bit deeper. Okay, this is all more than a seasonal problem, though. Most people are trying to, or a lot of people are trying to say, well, yeah, it's flu season, it's that time of the year. But it really isn't just a seasonal problem. The pandemic measures have accelerated public health systems to the brink of collapse. In many Western countries, these systems are facing severe problems, an inferno of pressures, including staff shortages from pandemic burnout, underpaid salaries, discrimination, and a cost of living crisis, with many health professionals leaving the workforce while the demand for care from the community is rising. So we're seeing less healthcare workers, but more people requiring healthcare. The often used explanation for the current situation in healthcare, a triple demic, after two lockdowns resulting from a surge in winter viruses like RSV, flu, and COVID-19, which is basically a coronavirus or a flu, doesn't hold. Current data do not represent an outlier season. Political, ideological, and catastrophic leadership costs healthy years of lives. If I told you that with all the money we spend on healthcare globally, that the average age of the average individual pretty much across the planet is dropping when it has been doing nothing but going up for well over 100 years, what would you blame that on? Let's start with a few examples. The healthcare system in the UK is collapsing because of a decade or more of underinvestment in the National Health Service and other public services. The indicators for the health services are all red. And this is happening when it's got its biggest demand. Increase ambulance time and people waiting for a hospital bed, stranded outside overflowing hospitals, has spiked since December 2022. The overstretched system with the longest delays on record for millions of treatments for cancer and operations has left patients in pain, people enduring unnecessary suffering, and has led to 300 to 500 people a week dying avoidably because of the unsolved current crisis. The roots lie in political choices made, not cold weather or a seasonal flu. And let's discuss one more thing. A vast majority of those flooding the hospitals today are fully vaccinated. Now, let's talk about something when we say that. If you are fully vaccinated or fully jabbed, God, I hate using that word in conjunction with the mRNA jabs. But if you are fully jabbed, meaning you've had at least three, maybe four, and if you're really, really stalwart, you probably have five. Okay? If that has happened, you already know because we put this information out several times. It's readily available. You don't have an immune system anymore. So when people are dying from cancer at record numbers, it's because, this is focused on the fully vaccinated. Why? Without an immune system, cancer can run rampant in your system. And I could go on and on and on. Things you normally wouldn't die from, a bad case of the flu, a mild case of pneumonia. I could go on and on. These are things that are killing people at an unprecedented, a record rate today. Why? Because they don't have an immune system to save their life. If I was to catch a mild case of pneumonia, I haven't been vaccinated in almost 50 years now. If I was to catch a mild case of pneumonia, I'd probably be over it in 2 or 3 days. If you've had 3 or 4 COVID shots or jabs, you're dead. And that's not a joke. I have a fully functioning immune system. You no longer have an immune system. And there are researchers that have stepped up to say over and over again, after the third shot, your immune system is all but gone. But they want you to take a fourth to make sure the other three didn't lay down on the job. And I guess the fifth one's just to put a little bit of extra money in their coffers. But this is the way it goes. On January 5th, 2023, the British Prime Minister brought together the current advisors about the pressure of increasing demand. Yet the response of the top senior managers in health services and politicians is silence, denial, disengagement, delay, while health professionals are crying out on social media, mainstream media, and the British Medical Journal to be heard. Nobody is listening. Other countries like France, Canada, the good old USA, and the Netherlands are facing similar problems in the collapsing health system with shortness of staff and increased demands. Again, we talk about increased demands, and some of you are automatically thinking, oh, COVID's coming back. No! A vast vast majority of these people are in the hospital because they are fully vaccinated and their body no longer has the ability to take care of them or to protect them. We are seeing what? We are seeing athletes dropping dead on the field. We are seeing school children dropping dead from myocarditis or heart attacks. This wasn't happening 3 or 4 years ago. When's the last time, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you heard of hundreds of kids dropping dead from heart attacks or myocarditis? You didn't. But today, it's almost normal. Oh, they wish you to believe it's always been normal. No, it hasn't. So when we talk about an overload of the system, the healthcare system, a vast majority of that overload is not coming from the unjabbed. It is coming from the jabbed. Okay. We also have a fall in life expectancy. Well, you would pretty much expect that, wouldn't you, with everything I've just said? But let's take it further. Okay. Excess disabilities among those aged 16 to 64. Well, let me tell you something. The people who are dropping dead unexplainably across the planet are in that age group, what we call the working age group, 16 to 64. They are the people. They are that portion of the population that is suffering the most from these unexpected or unexplained just dropping dead. Okay? And excess mortality among all age groups is noticed in a way that it has never been noticed before. You can't ignore it. You have to see it, especially if you work in the healthcare system. In the U.S., excess mortality, listen to me, is 40% higher amongst working age people. 16 to 24, or to 64, I mean. Actually, it's 18, but she uses 16, and maybe that's what it is in Great Britain. But in the United States, it's pretty much 18 to 64. These are the people suffering a whole lot more from what is called excess mortality. Cardiac health problems and sudden deaths increase the most amongst this particular age group. Why? Okay. Undercooled and malnourished elderly people are filling hospital beds and keep them filled as they have no other place to go. But also, more newborn babies and young children today need hospital care more than they ever have in the past. These are children that are vaccinated. Stillbirths have skyrocketed to levels never seen before, and birth rates around the world have dropped off a freaking cliff. Gee, yeah, let's thin down the population or something. Okay? Concern regarding a long-term increase in demand is widely spread and worrisome. Demand for what? Demand for hospital care. Demand for health care, demand for. And the thing of it is, what I have been telling you over the last, I don't know, over the last almost year that I have been doing this particular show is that this is going to get increasingly worse every single month going forward. Why do I say that? I say that because if you've gotten two vaccines or three vaccines or four vaccines, okay, your health, your immune system is gone. That doesn't mean that you're going to die tomorrow. What that means is that something is going to walk in the door that your body can no longer handle. Something your body would have had no problems defeating in the past, it has absolutely no defense again today. But that may take 2 months. That may take a year for you to walk into that circumstance. It may take 2 years, but I will tell you over the next 3 to 5 years, we will see the biggest die-off humanity has ever seen times 100. I'm telling you that between 5 and 6 billion people have been vaccinated, that 23 to 25 million have died as a result, and that 2.2 to 2.5 billion are already on record as suffering from vaccine side effects, 1,200, over 1,200, of which they tried to hide for 75 years. If there's nothing for these vaccine companies to worry about, why do you try to hide dangerous side effects of your vaccinations for 75 years? It didn't work. And we know what they are. And I actually have a list of every single one of them. Okay? A fall in life expectancy is noticed with the greatest fall in Spain, Italy, Belgium, the US, and the UK. These are all first world countries. Okay? This is where you're seeing the highest decrease in life expectancy. This is where you're seeing your life shortened. If you expected to live to be 80, you might only live to be 75. I'm not telling you that you can count on this, but this is the average that they're seeing. This is of a magnitude which has not been seen since World War II. Life expectancy in the U.S. fell by 2.7 years from 2019 to 2021 due to increased mortality and premature deaths. COVID deaths worldwide from 2020 to 2022 were estimated, roughly 6 million, okay, which is 3.86% of the total global population. The number of people that survived COVID is 99.914%, with the highest percentage being in developing countries, not in developed countries or first world countries like the United States. Why? Because they probably don't have 3 or 4 or 5 freaking injections. But we're talking about a mortality rate, listen to me, of 99.914%. A survival rate, which means that your ability to survive this is massive. If you never got a vaccine, the amount of people that would be dying across the planet today would be infinitesimal in comparison to the numbers I'm giving you right now. A vast majority of those dying, a vast majority of those with massive cases of cancer that are spreading at the speed of light, a mass majority of those dying from heart attacks or massive blood clots are all fully vaccinated. Wake the hell up, people, especially you people out there that are saying people like me aren't telling you anything. Sure sounds the hell like I'm telling you something now. Steve, does it sound like I'm telling them something right now?
Sounds like we've been telling them that for about almost 3 years. What is that, about 34 months?
Yep, you're absolutely right. Okay. UK figures published this week show that more than 650,000 deaths were registered, in 2022, 9% more than in 2020. Roughly 38,000 deaths involved COVID compared with more than 95,000 in 2020. COVID is one of the factors rather than the main explanation. Excess deaths in 2022 is among the worst in 50 years. A call for independent investigations is growing all over the world, though they're being kept on hold by many of their own public health ministers. Now, I'm not going to tell you nobody's ever died from COVID, because that would be me telling you nobody ever died from the flu. That would be me telling you that someone my age, and I'm 68, almost 69 years old, okay, is never going to die from the flu. If I've got two severe comorbidities and I'm my age, the flu could very well kill me. Did COVID-19 kill people? Of course it did. Does the flu kill people every year? Of course it does. Do we go through the drastic processes that destroy societies, destroy their entire economies, destroy their families, destroy everything? Do we go through that every flu year? No. Why did we do it this year? And with that, Steve, do we have a break?
Yes, we do.
I think I need to take a breath.
Well, I'll give you about 60 breaths.
All right, thank you.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, let's talk about the real pandemic policies. What is the policy? What's the policy here? What's the policy in the UK? What's the policy in Canada? Why aren't they all identical? What is the COVID policy? Well, let me explain something to you. The COVID policy has nothing to do with your health. The COVID policy has to do with control. The COVID policy has to do with putting you under the thumb of a socialist or communist global rule. Not a joke, not even a guess. And if you look at what's going on in Davos today, if you look at what's going on with the World Economic Forum, with the United Nations, with the WHO, and they're all in the exact same handbasket, if you take a look, what is their drive? Their drive is for a mechanism of global governance. And this is the way they're going to put it there. And with the treaty there, all these nations are about to sign, there will be no more sovereignty when it comes to a lot of this stuff for the United States anymore. What we do, what we say, and how we react, what medications we'll be forced to take or won't have to take, or how we're treated will be determined by a global government, self-appointed global government, not our leaders anymore. So this is what we're looking at, okay? Recently, I don't know. Well, let's just slide into that a little bit deeper, okay? More and more medical doctors and scientists are speaking out for an immediate halt of the mRNA vaccines until proven otherwise. Okay, as in, they're not killing you. German pathologists investigated people who died within 14 days after vaccination and observed that in certainly 30% of the cases, but probably 70 to 93%, there was a definite relationship between the death and the vaccination. Hold on. German pathologists investigated deaths within 14 days and said that a possibility of 70 to as high as 93% of those deaths are related to the vaccine. The more you vaccinate, the worse your immune system gets. Oh, gee. But I've never said that before, have I, Steve? Come on.
I don't think I've ever heard you say that before.
Okay. Recently, mandates on COVID-19 vaccines for employees in the private sector, New York City healthcare workers, in New York City staff, government staff itself, and the U.S. military have been lifted. Let that sink in for a second. I spent many years either working directly for the DOD as a contractor or in the military. This is what I did for a living. I told you on more than one occasion that the vaccine mandates for the military would do nothing but destroy the military. And your most intelligent people who actually understood what was going on would walk before they would take those shots. And they did. What we have seen prior to them saying, oh, well, guess what? Things aren't going our way, so maybe we ought to stop that mandate in the military. What we have seen is a massive smackdown to the readiness of our military. There are researchers out there to say, and I don't know if I'd quite go this far because I do have a lot of knowledge, about our military, But there are researchers out there saying if we had to fight Russia or China today, we would probably not win. Why? Because of our military preparedness as a result of the vaccine mandates. You were mandated to take a vaccine because if you were in close quarters with other individuals, you could, in fact, you know, transmit. But nobody with half a brain ever stopped to think about what was being said. If you can transmit it from somebody because you haven't been vaccinated, and you're the only person in that sonar room, the only person in that tank, the only person in that whatever, that aircraft, who hasn't been vaccinated and everybody else has, how do you transmit it to them? How? They're vaccinated. Oh, okay. So it doesn't make any sense at all. Then we found out from Pfizer that they never, ever did tests on whether or not once you were fully vaccinated, you could still transmit the spike protein from COVID. But they found out you could. So in other words, all of the people they kicked out of the military because they had the ability to transmit COVID were absolutely for nothing. Because whether you've been vaccinated or not, you can still transmit COVID. So again, what we're looking at is the absolute destruction or the near destruction of the American military readiness. And this was already known by those producing these vaccines well before they ever started to mandate them to the military. Let that sink in. Let it sink in. Somebody intentionally wanted to see the destruction or the severe limitation of the U.S. military. Because knowing what we know today, it never should have happened. But it did. Yeah. As the tipping point of reality of the COVID pandemic policy is near, there are many within the outside parliament and healthcare for whom questions about the cohesive nature of mandates, lockdowns, and catastrophic situations are now increasingly uncomfortable. What does that mean in English? It means they're starting to realize that some of the things they did, some of the things they enforced, some of the things they mandated never should have been had they, I don't know, known the correct information. But who are they talking about? Because Big Pharma knew it. The government knew it. The CDC knew it. The FDA knew it. So who are we talking about when we say this might not have been as bad if those who were doing the shot giving or the mandating were aware? They were. Lockdowns and the catastrophic situation are now increasingly uncomfortable for a lot of people, especially politicians. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida has recently called for a statewide grand jury to investigate the alleged crimes and wrongdoings surrounding the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna COVID-19 mRNA vaccines with the CDC. What we're talking about here is that a lot of information has been given to DeSantis showing unequivocally that this information was available prior to the lockdowns. It was available prior to the mandates. It was available prior to the military being gutted. It was available to when it was available when they told your kids they couldn't go to school. It was available when they smacked masks on your kids, which has caused severe damage to their health. All of this information was available prior to any of this happening. And now we have a politician who is standing up to say, we need to do some, I don't know, investigating into alleged crimes. Crimes, people, that's what they're being called. You asked me a question earlier, Stephen. I'm telling you that there are politicians out there right now that are going, oops. And there are doctors and people who run hospitals and people who run healthcare facilities that are walking away. Some of them even before they're retired, they're not even old enough to retire. Why? Because they know that what went around is coming back around. This is not a joke. This is starting to happen here, there, and everywhere. The policy of the pandemic crisis ruined lives. The policy we followed ruined lives. It destroyed lives. It cost lives. Millions of people globally died that never had to die. And this is the biggest takeaway point. Billions more may die going forward, regardless of anything we do. The policy of the pandemic crisis ruined lives. The immune system in all age groups has been weakened in multiple ways. How many times need I say that? While the infection fatality rate of the SARS-CoV-2 virus pre-vaccination level is 0.007% for people age 0 to 69 and 0.003% for ages 0 to 59 and 0.003% for children from 0 to 19. Stop and think about what I just said. This is a freaking yearly flu. And they have destroyed the planet. They have destroyed the global economy. They have destroyed the global health. They have destroyed the global healthcare system. They have destroyed your life. Who is going to pay? The numbers I just gave you scream louder than you can imagine. None of this was required. None of it. And if it was required, then why wasn't it done every single year for the last 68 years I was alive? Why just this one? And why are more people dying as a result of this than died in any of those other 67 years? We're not talking about a few more. We're talking about millions more, and we're talking about billions harmed. When's the last time you heard numbers like that, people? You haven't. You never have. The pandemic policy is acknowledged by wrong decisions and wrong investments based on poor studies, manipulated data, assumptions, incomplete or false communications, and most of all, censoring voices of medical doctors and scientists questioning the policy, as well as concerned researchers all across the planet. In past years, the genuine concern of leading politicians, public health professionals, and journalists about the health and well-being of the population are shown to be very low, or at some points, even absent. And when I say in past years, you know which ones I'm talking about. The last 2.5 years. What these points are slamming into your face over and over again is that we have a complicit media, is that we have a complicit medical system, is that we have a complicit government, is that we have a complicit global structure. And all of this was done because this is what they wished to see. How many times has Roger told you, you cannot have global governance on this planet? You cannot have global governance unless two things happen. You must destroy the global economy so that they can take it over. And you must severely reduce the global population so it is much more controllable. You can't have slaves if you've got too many of them and you can't control them. What are we seeing? I just got done telling you, scientists and researchers are seeing a massive increase in deaths across the planet, and this is just starting. I have also explained to you on many shows that the global economy is going into the freaking toilet. Next week, we're going to focus not so much on the health. We're going to focus on the global economy and how it got there and why it is the worst economy. And it ain't even half as bad as it's going to get. 2023, we are being told now by those who actually do the research for a living on economics, 2023 is going to be a total year of ouch, 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 ouch. And I'm not talking health. I'm talking global economies, including the United States. As a matter of fact, the United States is in the bullseye. The health system has turned into a money-driven public-private partnership, selling sickness with limited interest in promoting health and well-being, let alone considering the advice of Hippocrates, first do no harm. How many times have you heard that, Steve? First do no harm?
Many, many times. That's
how many doctors today are absolutely guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt in your mind of totally ignoring it?
Every one of them.
Thank you. I thought maybe it was just me who was nuts. Now I know that one of my best friends on the planet is nuts too. Okay. Let's talk about some accountability. Okay. The health system has turned into, as I said, a money-driven public-private partnership. Why is it that Moderna and Pfizer would go to the CDC or the FDA and say, yeah, we've got 1,200 plus severe side effects, but we don't want anybody to know about it. And it would have been hidden because this is exactly what the FDA, the CDC was going to do. But somebody sued them. And a judge says, no, you're not. So when I step up to say that I've made a product I know is going to kill a lot of people, and you work for the government health agency, the lead government health agency, and we wish for you to hide this, and they say, okay. How many people understand how commercial the CDC is or the FDA is? How many people understand how many vaccine patents are owned by the CDC? Owned! Why is our preeminent health agency allowed to own patents on medicine? That's insane. That leads to corruption. That leads to death, but not their death, our death. Okay? During the past decade, huge investments of tax money have been transferred to technological innovations in healthcare and even increased further over the past 3 years with the aim to contribute to the UN Sustainable Development Goals and the UN and Future Pandemic Preparedness, the proposed treaty of the World Health Organization, which will take the sovereignty of America away. They will decide what you can and can't eat. They will decide what vaccines you must take. They will decide where you can travel. You will have a vaccine pass, and it will be up to date. You and I can go on and on. This is a global organization that will bring the entire world under the pretext of health under a socialist / communist rule, not a guess. The treaty is already being signed by countries across the planet. How many Americans have stepped up to say, you didn't ask me about that? As far as we know, this is a constitutional republic, and you need to ask us before you make a decision that flies in the face of every single American citizen. Nevertheless, rising expenses for citizens on health care did not add years of healthy life nor improved life expectancy. We see, as I've already stated, life expectancy is dropping globally. Even before the pandemic, the U.S., often referred to as having the best health care system, already had the lowest life expectancy among large wealthy countries, while it far outspent everybody else in health care. Why? I can give you a real good guess, people. Anybody out there care to guess what is the most vaccinated nation on the planet by a very large margin? And now what you're finding out is the byproducts of that. Okay. Our life expectancy is the lowest in the free world. All right. The amount of children we have has dropped off a cliff. In 2014, eight years ago, the last time I could get a record on this, there was a 314,000 birth deficit in the United States, the most vaccinated nation on the planet. Vaccines have been suspect by people like me who have done our research on killing fertility for at least the 15 years I've been researching it. But how many times when you go in to get a vaccine, does your doctor say, are you planning on having children? This may be a detriment to that. How many times? First, do no harm. Again, this is not what we're seeing. Okay, anything you want to stick in there real quick, Steve, before I make a wrap up? We've got 10 minutes left and I've only got about 2 hours worth of material to go.
No, you're fine. Go ahead, Roger.
Okay. I'll tell you what, let's just jump down to something I really think I need to talk about before we jump out of this. Let's talk about the Great Resignation, okay? Let's talk about a report of around 70% of high-level executives are seriously considering quitting their jobs. Executives for who? Yeah, let's get to that. One out of three executives are constantly struggling with fatigue and poor mental health, which influences their firm's performance. Women leaders are leaving companies at the highest rate ever. The National Rural Health Association policy paper reported a turnover rate of CEOs of 18 to 20% per year. Over 650 CEOs in the U.S. left their jobs in 2022, an increase of 13% when compared to 2021. We are literally seeing those who put the mandates on you that destroyed your life. We are literally seeing those who made sure you either took something that put your life in danger or you lost your entire military career. We are looking at hospitals that put you on ventilators knowing full well that in the condition you were in, that was probably going to be terminal, but they got paid between $20,000 and $80,000 if you went dead and they blamed it on COVID. This isn't a joke, people. What goes around comes around, and people are starting to see this. You are seeing people responsible for these actions in high places saying, we were told it would never get this far. We were told we would never be under the gun. We were told this would never come back to smack us in the head, but damn it, here it is. I quit. And of course, they're giving all kinds of really good reasons. But when the number of CEOs, when the number of hospital administrators, when the number of doctors, family doctors included, are walking away from their practices or their jobs, there has to be a reason, doesn't there? And there is. The complications of unstable leadership can have a significant short and long-term impact on hospitals, quality of care, and on the broader community. Leadership is a vital enabler to address burnout from organizational collapsing. And this is what we're seeing. A need for strong and steady leadership has never been greater to prevent hospital closure and continued care, which is especially needed for hospitals in rural health. But nobody much talks about that. All you talk about is the hospitals in the big cities, but there's a lot of hospitals in rural areas. Many doctors and nurses are choosing early retirement or leaving the sector for alternative careers. Unfortunately for people working for the frontline and supporting staff, increasing problems of burnout have also been observed. The tipping points of self-sacrifice no longer being willing to deal with a moral conflict have passed. In other words, I know what I'm doing now. I've done my research. People have slammed it in my face enough. How the hell can I go to work and do it again today? First, do no harm. The monthly resignation rates in the U.S. during 2021 were the highest in a 20-year history of the job openings and labor turnover survey. They're walking away. What goes around comes around. And it's a fact. Preliminary findings of the International Council of Nurses suggest that COVID-19 effects is highly likely to have a significant long-term impact as it contributes to a wave of post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder, depression, and anxiety. Even if only 10 to 15% of the current nursing population quits because of COVID-19 and the effects of the vaccines, there could be potential shortfalls of 14 million by 2030, which is the equivalent of half the current nursing workforce. Prior to the COVID-19 pandemic, severe burnout was typically found in 20 to 40% of the healthcare workers. All right, one more point here. European junior doctors, with 300,000 junior doctors, that's what they have, European, said in a press release, healthcare in Europe is at a precipice. The situation is not new. It was predictable and preventable. Alarming rates of burnout and other mental problems have resulted in many junior doctors leaving or considering leaving the workforce. Look, people. Let me summarize this, okay? We are looking at massive and increasing deaths from something that was never needed. We have a CEO, two CEOs of the biggest mRNA vaccines saying, one, that this is no worse than the yearly flu unless you have severe comorbidities or you're very old. And the other one saying, we never tested it to see if it could be passed on, and now we know it can, which means the vaccines do nothing. They do nothing because the vast majority of those sick and dying in the hospital are fully vaccinated, not unvaccinated. So let's go all the way back to the guy I started this with, or the person who wrote an article, Steve, saying, if you've unvaccinated people had spoke up and said something, maybe us vaccinated people wouldn't be having all the trouble we have. This is the way Roger says nothing about it. Today, what you heard for the last hour, this is Roger saying nothing about it. Did I do a good job at saying nothing, Steve?
Yes, you did.
Would you like to put anything in our last minute or two here while I take a breath?
A lot of people I pass that around to said it's a satire, but I had a friend that looked into the entire group that put the article out, and
it seems not satire.
It seems that they're all millennial normies.
And yep.
They believe in the system.
Yes, they do. And if you stop to consider the fact that the system is exactly what's taking us down at this point, the system is owned by the elitists. It is literally owned by the elites. What do the elites need to do? They need to bring the world to its knees economically, and they need to vastly cut back on the global population. That puts them in control. Anybody out there want to tell me which one of those isn't happening right in front of your face right now? And Steve, that's my final word. I'll talk to y'all next week.
Okay. It also leads me to believe that that was sort of a beta test for an article to see what kind of a reaction they could get from us. And it worked, didn't it?
Oh, no. I'm going to tell you something. I know exactly the type of reaction they were looking for.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, I don't think that I'm pleasing them by having that reaction. What I'd like to do would be a little bit more physical if they were standing in front of me. I don't think I got everything I wanted.
Correct. We'll see everyone next week.